This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Democrats in the state legislature introduced the first of their gun control bills yesterday, the same day the president of the National Rifle Association was at the Capitol to meet with lawmakers. Among the Democrats' proposals, one to require universal background checks, and another to outlaw magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. These initial bills aren't the only ones majority Democrats are working on. We're going to talk about the politics underlying all of this with CPR's Megan Verlee, who joins us Fridays. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Ryan.
Democrats control the House, the Senate, the governor's office. Does that make these gun bills a slam dunk?
Definitely not. Some of them have better odds than others. Expanding background checks to private gun sales, Governor Hickenlooper explicitly called for that in his State of the State address. And a recent Pew Research Center poll found public support for the policy stands at 85% nationwide. So I think that has a very good chance of passing. But some of the other measures could really split the Democratic caucus as lawmakers weigh what supporting these bills could mean for their political futures. I asked Representative Rhonda Fields, who's sponsoring some of these bills, what kind of response she's getting from her fellow Democrats so far.
I'm hearing that people really want to see the legislation in writing before they make a decision. So it's kind of vague for me. I'm not quite sure what kind of support I have. I'm very hopeful, but now that the bills are going to be on paper and people get to kind of see what they would be voting for, I think they'll see that those are reasonable measures that we're taking.
Democratic State Representative Rhonda Fields of Aurora, whose district includes the movie theater where the massacre occurred over the summer. Any sense that Republicans might support some of these bills?
Judging from what I've heard so far, it's highly unlikely. One thing I find interesting is that during his State of the State address, Governor Hickenlooper called for new measures to keep people with mental illnesses from purchasing guns. And at the time, that received bipartisan applause. Well, among the measures announced this week, one would speed up how mental health data gets into the CBI's background check system and, at least as I understand it, would broaden the kind of mental health situations that would get you denied a gun purchase. Right now, it's just involuntary commitment. And I was surprised to hear that immediately attacked by some Republicans. Here's what Senator Kevin Lundberg of Burthett had to say.
Where's that line where it crosses over, where everybody ends up on some sort of list and somehow we all become mentally deficient somehow by their standards? Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't fit.
Now, Lundberg is one of the most conservative members of the legislature, but I talked with some more moderate Republicans, and they also have reservations. The language of the bill isn't available yet, but they say the devil's in the details. One concern they bring up is making sure gun owners don't start avoiding psychological treatment for, say, PTSD or marital counseling because they're worried about losing the right to purchase firearms.
Have Republicans been able to do anything so far to make their opposition to these bills felt? Again, they're in the minority in both chambers.
In a backdoor way, yes. And this gives me the chance to tell a story of some of the theatrics that you see down here at the Capitol sometimes. Democrats scheduled their press conference to unveil the gun bills for 10:30 Tuesday morning. Big event. They had family members of shooting victims on hand. They had tons of press coming to cover it. And neither of the chambers was scheduled to do much that morning so that they could adjourn in time for the announcement. Well, at around 9:30, an hour before the press conference, the House introduced a resolution commemorating the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation.
Now, that's something lawmakers do a lot, recognizing important historical events or people, right?
Exactly. And usually a lot of people get up and talk about how great the thing being remembered is. And that's what happened on Tuesday, except that as the time for the press conference got closer and closer, the Republicans who came to the mic to praise President Lincoln started taking longer and longer, and it began to look like a filibuster, a deliberate attempt to make Democrats late for their big press conference.
How did it end?
Well, Frank McNulty, who was House Speaker until the Republicans lost their majority last fall, came to the podium a few minutes before 10:30, and he tried to amend the full two-page text of the Emancipation Proclamation onto the resolution.
Mr. Speaker, with your deference, I ask that Amendment L002 be read at length so that we can be reminded of the words of the Emancipation Proclamation.
The House will stand in a brief recess.
That last voice was Speaker Mark Ferrandino. He came back after a few seconds and after, from what I'm told, some very heated words away from the microphones. And he delayed the rest of that testimony on the resolution until Thursday. Republicans did succeed in making Democrats a few minutes late for their press conference, But it didn't end there. When the resolution came back up on Thursday, the entire Black caucus and all the Democrats in the Latino caucus stood together at the podium in the middle of the House, and they issued a very icy thanks to Republicans for their praise of the proclamation. Here's Representative Angela Williams concluding.
Your efforts are noted and will not be forgotten.
Listening to all of this, Megan, I'm reminded of the last time I heard about a filibuster in the state House. And that was also by House Republicans last year as they tried to run down the clock on that civil unions bill.
I remembered that moment, too. And it's certainly interesting to note that last May, the man wielding the gavel was Frank McNulty. And on Tuesday, it was Mark Ferrandino, who some say owes his speakership in part to how galvanized Democrats were by the messy end to the civil unions bill that night.
CPR's Capitol reporter Megan Verlee is checking in with us. I want to bring up a bill that actually got some national coverage this week. On Monday, NPR tech reporter Laura Seidel was on All Things Considered, talking about a driverless car bill that state lawmakers here heard this week.
Colorado is one of several states to take up legislation on driverless cars. Why now?
Well, Google has been the leader on this one, and the company actually built a prototype, and it's been pushing lawmakers around the country to make it possible to legally take these cars on the road.
I guess that bill got a hearing on Wednesday, but what was its fate, Megan?
No go on driverless cars, at least for this year. The bill's sponsor, Senator Greg Brophy of Ray, asked the committee to kill the bill. He said he just had too much opposition for it to get passed. And among those opponents, interestingly enough, was Google. Brophy says it came down to a spat over language.
Google and the automobile manufacturers are wedded to a uniform language across the country that defines these vehicles as autonomous vehicles. Well, autonomous means not subject to the law.
And Brophy says he's just not comfortable with that language in the law. He does say he'll bring the bill back, and I should note he also says, and has said this whole time, that a law change isn't even needed to allow self-driving cars in Colorado, that they're already legal on our roads. He just wanted the policy to smooth the way to their adoption.
Well, I understand today is likely to be a busy day at the Capitol. What's going on?
The Senate is taking up the civil unions bill today. This is the first chance for debate by the full chamber. And since the measure is sure to pass, I think the only real question is how long Republicans will take with their opposition. They've sounded resigned to its passage, but that doesn't mean they won't want to voice their concerns.
Anything interesting coming up next week?
Two bills on my radar are getting hearings in the House Judiciary Committee next Tuesday that I think are interesting. One is a Democratic effort to make it a crime to harm or end a woman's pregnancy without her consent. That's in cases of car crashes or assaults, not abortions. This has been an ongoing concern, but in past years, Republican attempts to address this have died over concerns that it would become a backdoor abortion ban. This is the first time Democrats have really taken up the issue recently, and it's the first time Planned Parenthood has actively supported a bill. It's a case where there's a bipartisan agreement that there's a problem. There are these terrible car crashes and other crimes that cause miscarriages where people don't face charges for that injury, but it's taken a while to get a solution that has enough votes.
And what was that other bill on your radar?
Well, another resurrection from past years. It's an attempt to create a DUI level for THC, the active ingredient in marijuana. This year's bill has the support of the bipartisan Criminal and Juvenile Justice Commission, which is a powerful force and is likely to give the bill some added momentum. Last session, it only died because one of its supporters was missing on a crucial day for a crucial vote. So it seems very likely that this year is going to be the year.
Well, thanks so much for being with us.
Great talking with you, as always.
Megan Verlee is CPR's Capitol reporter and checks in with us Fridays.